Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Monday morning, two more losses for the Jets and Giants as the tankathon watch has been on, and interesting stuff happening yesterday in that regard when it comes to the draft order. And the Jets are done. The Jets aren't going to win another game. We've been saying that now for weeks, but someone needs to explain to me why Jackson Dart, with 3 minutes left in the third quarter, had 6 yards passing. And at the end of the game had 33 yards passing. Now, a Giants fan will tell you, well, I mean, or someone maybe who hasn't been following the Giants, well, they're trying to tank, they're trying to lose. But why would they? When you've got a general manager who is on the extreme hot seat and probably won't be there, a head coach who is auditioning for other head coaching jobs, and a quarterback who wants to win. Why would they not let him throw the football in this game? Totally bizarre when you think there's going to be a full regime change at the end of the year. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jim. I'm doing great and feeling a lot better, by the way.
Good.
I will say that, maybe they're afraid to run him. You remember everybody saying you might as well sit him, don't run him, don't let him run because he's going to get another concussion. I mean, that was about as pathetic a performance as you're going to see in the NFL from a quarterback, and his lack of opportunities and some drop passes. You know, Darius Slayton gets it right in the chest and drops another ball. Now all of a sudden, you know, it's funny because I can always tell by, and I always say this, by my Giant fan friends and their reactions to how the team looks on a given weekend. And yesterday, you know, other than some plays by the defense, and Brian Burns has certainly been, you know, one of Joe Shane's crowning achievements here, they're like, all right, now let's trade Jackson Dart if we get the number one pick, and let's go take Fernando Mendoza. I mean, like, it has gotten to that point, and this is where Jackson Dart now learns that the NFL is a relentless place, and it takes a while for rookies to really get grasp what that means. And all the rookie quarterbacks this year, maybe with the exception of Tyler Shuck, who's actually put together a winning record as the starting quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, including yesterday's Jets win. But that performance yesterday offensively, you know, that was Jet-esque when you think about it. And you're supposed to have a quarterback that you believe in moving forward in the future. But, you know, he really struggled. They struggled. The weather wasn't great. It was windy. It just looked like he was, like, all over the place. And Mike Kafka, when your quarterback looks like a deer in the headlights, has got to kind of work through a game plan that you try to win the game. I mean, they only lost the game 16-13. You're trying to win the game. But his first half performance was nothing. I mean, it really did nothing. It's very hard for a quarterback to do nothing.
I know. I mean, I was just shocked at the numbers. I mean, you're watching the game, and then you realize, like, wow, he hasn't thrown the football. I mean, to have 13 attempts, and I believe he had 6 attempts at the end of the third quarter, and then you had the another 7, I guess, the rest of the game in the fourth quarter. It's just it's mind-boggling.
They just tried to run the ball and control the ball. I don't know. Maybe protect him. I don't know. I have no idea.
Don't start him if that's going to be the case.
Well, I mean, he's got to start. He's got to play. Whoever the next coach is still got to see more tape on him.
13 attempts?
He just had a god-awful day yesterday. If I had to guess... You know, on the sideline, Mike Kafka is looking at a guy that's like, you know, he's got the sleepy look. And, you know, Mike Kafka wants to win games too. I mean, but they also, you know, in a weird way, you know, they're competitive because the defense kept it competitive, and because, you know, J.J. McCarthy, he can't read a defense.
He ends up getting hurt, too, but
that's what I'm saying, but he can't read a defense.
Did you see the reaction?
Never take a hit like that. Never.
When they did the stress test on his hand, did you see his reaction there? It was another J.J. McCarthy moment.
Yeah, no.
Like, where he gets to, you know, whatever, they touch his hand, and he jumps as if someone was shooting at his feet.
Kevin O'Connell cannot be put up with that.
I don't know. What is with this guy? I mean, I understand he had two good games. Look. Jesus Christ. Dude, he looks like Bryson DeChambeau when he got hit by the rope back in the day.
Remember that? It was so unnecessary. I mean, it is that's a whole other story going on there.
But anyway, forget about that.
But it's a weird deal for the Giants, too. They're going to clean house. And like I keep saying, for Joe Shane, the worse it looks, the worse it is for him, too, I think.
But he can't come back, right? I mean, there's just no way.
I mean.
There's no way he can come back.
They have
the worst record in the league.
I know that. It's getting progressively worse. All I could say is that whoever the coach that comes in here next year will hopefully have a healthy Malik Nabers. You know, maybe Theo Johnson will learn to catch more balls, you know, off the jugs machine and not drop balls that go through his hands. I doubt Darius Slayton is going to be here next year. His performance is I could think of like 10 different situations where if Darius Slayton just makes a play, the game could be different. I mean, he's been in so many negative plays. It's ridiculous that he's actually even on the field. I don't know how you could trust him. They don't really have anybody else.
I mean, it truly is amazing that where we were with the Giants earlier in the year and killing Philadelphia and leading in Denver, that we sit here this morning with them being worse than the Jets somehow. How are they worse than the Jets? It really is. And for yesterday, you know, a team, if you want to tell me that the Jets are trying to lose because it's a first-year Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji and they're throwing Brady Cook out there and everything else, okay, I could totally understand that because you expect those guys to be back. But for the Giants to look like that, play like that, you know, the offensive just game plan being what it was when none of these guys are going to be here, This might have been one of the more confusing, terrible games that they've played in this horrible stretch. They only lost by three, but it just didn't make any sense to me.
4:05 next Sunday on CBS, Giants at Raiders. Are you watching?
Well, yeah.
You have to.
No, you have to. Especially with us and being interested in the number one overall pick and how it affects the Jets, too, by the way. Because if the Giants get it and they want to keep Jackson Dart, then the Jets are going to want to try to trade with them. And do those two teams make a deal? It's going to be fascinating.
Well, I'll tell you, the Jets are moving up, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they're number four right now.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, 10:03 on this Monday morning. It's a Monday midday right here, the Fan in New York. You've got Dove Kramer, the legendary Dove Kramer across the way. Pete Hoffman
at the controls as we're rolling with you for the next 4 hours, right up until 2 o'clock this afternoon, 888-808-1019. That is your number to call as we're a couple days away from Christmas. We're going to be ringing in a new year in 2026. And for a myriad of different reasons, get me to next year in 2026. And one of those reasons, obviously, being the New York football teams. And, you know, we'll start with the Giants, and then we'll get into a little bit of Jets. And both seasons have been over a long, long time ago. And we know the Giants have made some decisions. Out is the head coach in Brian Daboll. Out is the defensive coordinator in Shane Bowen. Out is the assistant defensive line coach in Brian Cox. We'll see exactly what transpires with their general manager, Joe Shane. Mike Kafka getting a look as the interim head coach to see if he can be a serious candidate. And Kafka's got a good reputation around the National Football League. He's interviewed for head coaching jobs around the NFL before, you know, one of them being specifically the Seattle Seahawks. But gets an opportunity here and has been here a while, whether he's calling plays, not calling plays under the guidance of the previous head coach and Brian Daboll or not. But Kafka's got former player at Northwestern, quarterback in the NFL, backup more so than anything else. But a guy that has got a good reputation around the National Football League. Do I think he's going to get a serious look for the New York Giants? I do not. But the Giants yesterday against the Minnesota Vikings, and you knew that they were going to go out there and try and run the football, which they did. Someone's got to understand me, because one of the bright lights this season for the New York Giants has been the quarterback in Jackson Dart. Yes, we've been critical, and he's been defiant, especially after that Patriot game when he took the hit along the sideline about, this is the style and fashion which I played. I played in high school. I played at USC. I played at Ole Miss. This is the way I'm going to be in the National Football League. But the point being is, well, it's really not going to go out and be all that sustainable, right? And we saw him already. He's been checked for a concussion on 5 different occasions, and he suffered a concussion earlier on in the regular season where he took a hit, fumbled the football against the Chicago Bears, right? But that's not really, you know, kind of the debate. I just don't understand when you go into a game, and I understand that there are limitations of what the Giants can go out there and do. I'm growing tired of watching Darius Slayton drop footballs. I'm growing tired of Theo Johnson, who is a big 6'6 target. I'm growing tired of Theo Johnson going out there having the ball go right through his hands as it resulted in an interception yesterday against the Minnesota Vikings. Like, those storylines are growing tiresome, right? Cumbersome. They're you know, frustrating to watch, tough to see the kind of same mundane drumbeat nature that has been Giant football for the last 3 years. It really is, where it's been a lot of losing. But yesterday was a learning experience when you're going up against Brian Flores, right? And a Brian Flores-led defense. Even without their best pass rusher in Grenard, even without one of their starting safeties, you knew what Minnesota was going to go out there and try and do. Disguise their coverage in the secondary. You knew that they were going to bring pressure. We understand Andrew Thomas suffered a hamstring injury during the course of the game. He's probably going to be shut down for the rest of the season. John Runyon was not available to play. Him and his wife had their first child. That was announced about an hour and a half before the game. Congratulations to the Runyons, right? But you knew that that Giant offensive line was going to be put to the test yesterday. You knew that Jackson Dart, he was going to go to school yesterday, right? Because, you know, Flores was going to go in, and he's had success as a defensive coordinator, seeing a rookie quarterback for the first time where he's been able to confuse. And what's the one thing you want to do with quarterbacks is make them hold the football just a drum beat or a beat a little bit too long, right? Make them think. Don't have the game. Make sure the game speeds up. It doesn't slow down. That's going to be to the detriment of the offense, and that's going to be to the positive nature when you're looking at opposing defenses. And that's exactly what Brian Flores did yesterday. But, I mean, to not attempt a pass for large stretches of that game, I mean, to the 144 mark of the second quarter, when the development of Jackson Dart is priority number one, and I get you want to go out there and try and run the football. And listen, Giants could have won that game yesterday if Abdul Carter was not offside, which negated the Javon Holland touchdown. Burns, obviously, with a tremendous play and a fumble by J.J. McCarthy, and he got knocked out of the game with that right hand injury. And then he saw Brosmer in the game, the former Minnesota Golden Gopher, who was terrible earlier on in the regular season against the Seattle Seahawks. You saw him in that game, and as Minnesota Viking team held on for dear life. But I just didn't understand necessarily the game plan when you're looking at Dart, who clearly did not want to scramble, did not scramble, did not run. They didn't have designed runs, wasn't going to go out there and take unnecessary hits. And you could say, well, there's limitations to what the Giants could do offensively. But why has he regressed, I mean, to an extent? You know, and maybe it's just a long season. Maybe he's beaten down. Maybe that's the instance. But why exactly, you know, where he talks the good game, he talks about the fact of how winning is important. And I understand that there are Giant fans around this tri-state area that are celebrating, that want the number one overall pick, and then mortgage that number one overall pick if somebody falls in love with Mendoza, the quarterback out of Indiana. But, you know, that is not the same Jackson Dart I watched yesterday that I saw take on the Denver Broncos. That really isn't. That's not the same Jackson Dart that I saw before he got knocked out of the game against the Chicago Bears. That is not. They are not one and the same. My question is, the game plan that Kafka put together yesterday to limit the impact or limit what Jackson Dart was going to do in that passing game, maybe it was because of concerns along the offensive line. Maybe it was because of concerns about the weapons. I mean, I just didn't understand that aspect of it. And you've grown tired when you watch this Giant team for the better part of the last 3 years about what is defined Giant football, and it really hasn't been much. Really hasn't been much. It's been a lot of losing. That is what has defined Giant football. There is no clear identity of exactly of what you are going to get from the New York Giants week in and week out, and that is going to be incumbent if Joe Shane sticks around, whoever the new head coach is. And you know, I've said it time and time again with doing the show with John on Saturday mornings right here on WFAN, Giants Talk Back Live, or whether it be on my Football Sunday show right here on WFAN. I think the Giants have got to bring somebody in that is going to basically, you know, hold everyone accountable. Like, the nonsense with the New York Giants has got to go out there and it's got to stop. There needs to be an identity to what this team is going to go out there and be. What they're going to be offensively, what they're going to be defensively. I'm not telling you that everyone's got to be, it's got to be the Patriot way and go out there and do your job. No, I mean, you can have the personalities, but the nonsense with Abdul Carter has got to stop. And you've seen it before with other guys this year. I don't need the defensive line coach coming out there and defending Dexter Lawrence after Lawrence gets criticized by Carl Banks on the Giant broadcast. I mean, come on. And it all goes away when you start winning games, but you got to bring in a head coach here that's going to hold these team accountable and define what Giant football is going to mean moving forward here, because it's time to start winning. It's time to start winning. It's tough to watch a Giant game where there's a half-empty MetLife Stadium taking on the Minnesota Vikings late December with Christmas around the corner. And that's tough to watch, where the parking lot is half full. That is tough to watch. It's tough to watch a game where Giant fans are going out there complaining how boring the game is because of the game plan that you put together, because you have a fear of God of the quarterback going out there either taking an unnecessary hit or making a critical mistake, and you're trying to win a game ugly. Tough to watch. Tough to watch Darius Slayton continue to drop footballs. Tough to watch. Tough to watch Abdul Carter go offside, which negated the Javon Holland touchdown. Tough to watch. Tough to watch Theo Johnson, who, I mean, big target, athletic kid out of Penn State. You know, world is his oyster, can go out there and completely play the position, but he's got stone hands. Tough to watch. And you've gotten that time and time again, because I ask anybody out there, I ask any Tom, Dick, and Harry, right? What exactly defines the Giants here in 2025? What has defined the Giants in 24? What defined the Giants in 23? What are you going to get? Because there was a time when you thought about the New York Giants where you knew exactly what you were going to get. It might not equate to a win at the end of the day, but you knew what you were going to get. You're going to get great offensive line play. You're going to get a defense that was going to get after the quarterback. They were going to play smart. They were going to go out there, take advantage. They're going to have a quarterback that could throw through the wind at Giants Stadium, or now MetLife. You could run it when you needed to run it, and that's the most important thing. When you look at NFL teams, you can have a good ground game, but here's the deal. Can you run the football when the opposing team knows you need to run the football? That's the difference. What defines the Giants now? What exactly are they? What do they want to be? And that is going to be up to the new head coach that steps into that building about, this is what we are going to be. This is an organization that's been to 5 Super Bowls, has won 4 of them. And once again, there is the air of change during the course of this offseason. We understand they're going to be looking for a new head coach. Who knows? Maybe they're looking for a new general manager as well. Maybe they do a clean sweep following this season. the general manager withstood the initial rash of change. We'll see if that transpires following this season. But this can't be about how it looks or the process. It's got to be about the results. Listen to D'Amico Ryans yesterday after the Texans knocked off the Vegas Raiders and won that game 23-21, right? And Houston has now won 9 straight games. What's the most important thing? It doesn't necessarily mean how it looks. It's a matter of finding ways to win games. And this is a giant team and an organization that needs to learn how to win. Play good football week in and week out. Play smart football week in and week out. Define exactly what giant football is going to be. And also have an understanding of what you need to do week in and week out. Nobody wants to hear about close losses. Nobody wants to hear about one-score games. Nobody wants to hear about where the roster is now as compared to 3-4 years ago. You know, the National Football League, you look at it year in and year out. You know, the New England Patriots, who had a 4-year absence from the NFL playoffs, right? Punched their ticket with that 11-point fourth quarter comeback last night down in Baltimore against the Ravens. They were down at one point in time, 24-13, win the game 28-24. Wheels came off for Baltimore late with Snoop Huntley at quarterback after Lamar Jackson got knocked out of that game with a back injury late first half. But here's the point. The Patriots are the poster child. Now you might say, well, Mark, how are the Patriots the poster child? Because last year, the Patriots were in the abyss. What brought them out of that abyss? Vrabel, to go along with a dynamic second-year quarterback in Drake May. They didn't make all the splashy moves in free agency. They brought the right people in that knew that they were going to buy in. Yes, did they have a favorable schedule this year? For sure. You still got to go out there and win the games. And that victory last night by the Patriots was a statement win. Now you might say, why? Well, it was a statement win by the Patriots last night because the week previous, they blew a 17-point lead at home to Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, and they were down 11 in the fourth quarter last night. You want to know the last time the Patriots came back from that kind of deficit in the fourth quarter? Had to go all the way back to the Super Bowl against the Atlanta Falcons when they were down 28-3. As Christmas is around the corner, as we're about to ring in a new year in 2026, for the New York football fan, it has been once again a long football season. And I feel for you. It's tough to watch. It's tough to talk about. The Jets are doing themselves no favors. We'll get into a little gangrene as well. Don't worry about that. I'm not going to leave them untouched on this Monday. But as far as the Giants are concerned, did understand the game plan yesterday. And once again, you look at a game in which, regardless of who the DC is, regardless of who the HC is, regardless of who the assistant defensive line coach is, this team needs to learn how to make winning plays and find ways to win games. As Ryan said yesterday for the Houston Texans, doesn't matter how it looks, got to win. Got to win. And it's time for the Jets and the Giants to figure out a way. And the Giants are closer than the Jets. You know why? Because they have a quarterback. And this whole idea, and I understand he has not looked particularly good as of late since Daboll left the building. I get it. Didn't understand the game plan yesterday. The Giants have found their quarterback. Don't worry about that. Don't lean into the idiocracy out there that's being thrown out there about the Giants moving on from Jackson Dart, trading him, and bringing in Fernando Mendoza. I mean, that is not happening. You know, but this is what happens. When you do a lot of losing and you need something to talk about, sometimes people like to throw you-know-what up against the wall and like to see if it sticks. You know what I'm talking about.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And I think it's the question on all of our minds.
Yes.
What the hell was that? And I'm not talking about the Jets. We'll get to them later. What the hell was that with the handling of Jackson Dart, with what that was supposed to be, with the giant offense? How is it possible Jackson Dart threw for 33 yards? What was that, Tiki?
On 11 attempts, it was just abysmal.
Yes.
The first half, he had 2 yards.
Two yards.
It made no sense. They ran the ball 30 times in this game. This felt like I'm so terrified of the Minnesota Vikings and Brian Flores' defensive scheme that I don't want my quarterback to get beat up and knocked out of the game and have to go in the blue protocol tent one more time. That's what it felt like, that there were going to be free rushers running at Jackson Dart all day long. Therefore, let's just let Jackson Dart hand the ball off to Tyrone Tracy and hope for the best. The problem with that is that this was a winnable game. The Minnesota Vikings aren't world beaters by any stretch of the imagination. J.J. McCarthy was not really great in this game. He had a couple of short passes and third down conversions to Justin Jefferson. But other than that, what the hell did they do? And so to
gave
me,
the ball away, actually, right, and gave you points.
To me, this felt like I don't want to get my quarterback beat up, so I'm just going to not let him participate in this game. And that's just not fair to the kid. Because, yeah, he might have. No, not yeah, he might have. He would have struggled mightily against Brian Flores' defensive scheme.
Sure.
All the different machinations that he throws at you. It might have been horrendously ugly. But I would rather have that than not trying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would rather have Jackson Dart learn how to deal with chaos that sometimes defensive coordinators present to you than just not try to get him frazzled or hurt or whatever the reasoning was. I get the game. I get the idea of the game plan. The execution of it wasn't good. And when you look back on this game, it's like you have only so many opportunities for Jackson Dart to get up to snuff in a season that doesn't matter, because come 2026, all of the games are going to matter.
Yeah.
You're going to hope with a new coach, with a new system, with a new idea about what this Giant team is going to be, that every game is going to matter. So this was one where you could have let them just feel it. Grow up. Get your welcome to the NFL moment. Whatever the heck you want to call it. And it was taken away from him.
This game felt like it was coached by either an unhinged sports talk radio personality or a caller. And what I mean by that is, and I'm not trying to say Tommy's an unhinged sports talk radio personality.
Oh, Tommy.
But remember how last year you would accuse Brian Daboll of tanking? Remember that whole thing?
Yes.
And I would, and Tiki too, we would look at you and say, but that's not like real. That doesn't happen in the NFL. Like, they're not
trying.
I didn't
even consider that. But now that you say that, that's what it felt like. Well,
and that's why, to me, it was like, who was coaching this game? Tommy, Luke Cowher, or Mike Kafka? Because you could argue, and I remember I joked with this to you a few weeks ago, Tommy, how if this game happened last year, you could have very well come on the radio and say, see, I told you guys, they're tanking. Look at the way this game was played and
yes,
coached.
Yes.
And a game like yesterday, I'd have a very tough time arguing with you.
Well,
because it appeared that way.
Offensively, yes. Defensively, the defense looked really good for a second week in a row.
They did look good.
Abdul Carter actually put up another really good game.
Well, hold on a second about Abdul Carter. Wasn't he lined up in the neutral zone on a pick six?
Dude, it was so close. It was so close. It's one of those that you kind of, if you're the line judge, side judge, whichever one it was that called this, you kind of just let it go.
Maybe, but he still did it.
I know, he did. It's a boneheaded mistake.
The reason I say, though, it's like a sports talk host or a caller doing it is not only did it look like they were not trying to win, I heard callers, some to us, some around the radio station, suggesting Jackson Dart shouldn't play to save him from himself, right? Mm.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Jackson Dart shouldn't play.
From injury.
From injury.
Yes.
Let's save him for next season. And I think people looked at that and said, well, that's freaking crazy. He's right. A rookie. He's got to play.
But then you see this game against the Minnesota Vikings, and hey, that's kind of what it looked like.
Yes! So I can't, like, agree with Tommy or anyone else that they were tanking or they were afraid of getting Jackson Dart hurt. But when you watched that game yesterday, it looked that way.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean I think why, because obviously, why would Mike Kafka, who's not going to be with the Giants next year, participate in a tanking? It would make no sense.
Right.
Why would Joe Shane, who also may not be here next year, participate in a tanking? And we all know why players wouldn't. So I can't even argue that anyone would. I'm just saying, if you were at MetLife Stadium yesterday, or you actually invested 3 hours of your time watching that slop.
I did.
You did? We all did. It's understandable to walk away from it saying, what was that?
Yeah, this was unexplainable. I know that Mike Kafka says he wants to stay aggressive, and that's why he went for it on fourth down.
How dumb was that, too, T?
Of course it was ridiculous, because the way he played the game, he played it to be a low-scoring game, and you know your defense was going to have an advantage against Minnesota's young quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, and so points are at a premium. You take them when you can get them. And so if it wasn't for the Jackson Dart interception, they score 9 points.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's like that field goal going for it on fourth and five, if it's fourth and two or fourth and one, maybe, but fourth and five and then not having a good play, it made no sense given the nature of the game that you had to assume was going to take place against the Minnesota Vikings. And so it was just bad game management. It was bad decisions. And ultimately, it was bad play calling for a young quarterback who, even if he got destroyed by Brian Flores' defense, sometimes you need that.
I was going to say,
you need a butt whooping.
Sometimes, like, that's your best lesson.
Yes.
Your best lesson in life is getting your ass kicked. Go back to the beginning of this game. So Jackson Dart did not officially attempt throwing the football till early in the second quarter.
Yes.
Four runs out of the gate, a pass play in which there was a penalty, which actually gave them an automatic first down. Then there was a pass play that was a sack. Then three more runs, then a sack, then eight more runs before he finally officially attempted his first pass.
Eight more
which was
runs.
Incomplete. Yeah, eight. Eight in a row?
I don't even know if I realized that. Eight in a row.
I had to chart it down and write it down just to make sure, like, what I was watching was real. Four runs, pass with a penalty, pass with a sack, three runs sack, and then eight runs in a row before Jackson Dart attempted his first pass. And this is now early second quarter. It was mind-numbing.
Because it's not how this offense has been called at all this year. It's not as if, look, I know that Minnesota is good defensively. I know that they are aggressive, that they force a ton of turnovers. I think they are top four or five in the league in sacks and in strip sacks and all these other, you know, turnover metrics. The reason that they are even have won a lot of these games is because their defense has given them point blank range offensively and made it easy for them for Kevin O'Connell's offense. But at the same time, the only way to learn how to beat teams that are going to play you like this is to play games like this and to let your quarterback see it, get frustrated by it, start to figure it out, understand it, and the next time it's kind of like, all right, I know what's going to happen
right
here. Or I know where my hot read is. Or I know that they're bringing six, potentially seven. If that one guy comes, I have to get rid of the football. Like, you only learn that by doing
it. So what did he learn from yesterday?
Nothing. He learned how to I don't know, be inept. And turn around and hand the football off.
And I think what it did, and I don't think it did it to you.
It was 11 pass attempts.
That was crazy.
Now, look, there were 16 dropbacks because he was sacked, obviously. But 11 pass attempts and 30-plus runs.
Yeah.
That doesn't calculate in modern NFL.
How would you evaluate the way he played? Considering what he was allowed to do.
He was terrible.
He was terrible, right?
Yes.
So I think it's
the first time this year where I've said, man, he looked bad. Like, really bad. And
yeah,
there was nothing to take away from him, except for the good pass he threw to Darius Slayton that he dropped.
Right. I was going to say,
that was his best throw of the day.
And he wasn't helped out by his teammates.
No.
The only thing you took away from this, and I don't think this is you, despite saying he was terrible yesterday, or Tommy, or Sean, is that there are going to be Giant fans out there who are now questioning, is Jackson Dart the answer?
Nah.
And that doesn't feel fair.
No, it's not fair.
That's what happens off a game like that.
Yeah, when you look that badly, you have to toss it out. That's the outlier. That's the one, you know, data point that just doesn't make sense and line up anywhere close to all the other ones.
Well, what I said to a buddy of mine who is a Giant fan, because he texted me after this game and said, do you think The rose has come off the, hold on a second, the bloom has come off the Jackson Dart rose. And my
we'll
answer.
Have to save that for January 2nd.
Yes. Well, I knew I was screwing it up as I said it. And I think you'll be proud of my answer on this.
Go ahead.
Because my answer was, I think that sometimes with rookies, good and bad, we go way too far. We anoint them too quickly, and we bury them too quickly.
Very true.
And I think in a lot of ways, Jackson Dart has had some really good moments in his rookie season. He's probably been anointed way too quickly.
Right, and you know who was crushed way too quickly? Abdul Carter.
Absolutely.
Who's had two really good games in a row.
I think that is a great example
safe
to show.
For the lining up all sides.
Right. But he has been different. And I think that's a great example of how, with the same team, in the same draft, we go too far, mm-hmm. both ways. So what I said to him, as I said, look, what we have to remind ourselves about Jackson Dart is that he's a rookie.
Yeah.
And that as well as it looked early on, as giddy as we were with 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter against the Broncos, early in Jackson Dart's tenure as quarterback of the New York Giants, we had to remind ourselves he's a rookie, yep. and he's going to go through bumps. And he went through bumps yesterday. I agree. He was terrible. Now, he wasn't helped out by the coach. He wasn't helped out by his receivers. But he was not great. And I think the other thing you can't deny is, since he's come back from his concussion protocol, he hasn't been the same guy.
No, he hasn't.
It's not all his fault, but it's true.
Yeah, and that's two parts. That's one, as a quarterback standing in the pocket, scrambling, because that feels like it's kind of not part of the game plan anymore, scrambling away and picking up 5, 10, 20 yards when a pass play breaks down. You also have seen almost zero design QB runs.
Which I guess we're okay with, right?
Yes, but it has to be a part of his game because that's what makes him different.
It has to be a part of his game, but should it be a part of your game when your record is 2-13?
Probably not.
And that's where I think.
And that's why I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm okay with that too. I'm just not okay with him basically being non-existent in the offense because if that's the case.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. When you say it like that, you're right. It was almost like he was a non-factor in the game yesterday.
And if Mike Kafka wants to make him a non-factor or the organization is making a decision to make him a non-factor, then don't freaking play him.
Yeah, so Tommy was right once again.
Yeah, you were by accident right, Tommy.
You were right with the start Dart at the beginning of the season. We praised you 6 weeks ago or 8 weeks, whatever it was. That you got that right. You got this one right, too.
Now, in fairness,
apparently they're not letting him do anything for the rest of the
season. You want to sit Dart so that the Giants lose.
Correct.
So it's come about in a way that's not direct with what you were saying. But nevertheless, if they're going to tie his arm behind his back, then why is he playing?
Can I give you a wild conspiracy that I just thought of?
Okay.
We've already had five of them today, so why not a sixth?
Hopefully you didn't mention this already. Is it possible that Kafka's being told to not let Dart run a lot, you know, kind of make him look bad so that they draft a quarterback because Jackson Dart was... Dart was Dable's guy, so maybe Shane thinks if I stick around, I could go to management
and go... Well, last we heard, Shane claimed Dart, too.
He did. This is just me pulling something wild out because I don't think that's actually what's happening. But they are trying to change Jackson Dart as a quarterback right now. Mm. Like, they're trying to make him more of a pocket passer. He doesn't have that spark. He's not running.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just, you know, testing it out to see if maybe he could be a different type of quarterback. And if not, they go back to the old. Because honestly, whoever the coach is next year is going to put Dart out there the way he sees fit.
Yeah.
And you're going to coach things differently when you're 0-0 as compared to 2-12 and now 2-13.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I've ever seen that or if I've ever seen it work.
Seen what work? Changing a quarterback that way?
Yeah.
It's like what the Mets did to Doc Gooden back in the day. They said, throw more curveballs. Don't throw the gas as much.
Yeah, I don't know if that works. I think you are who you are. And Josh Allen was that way, too. And, yeah, he's evolved his game, but he still kind of has that flair to just take off and try to be a running back.
Yeah.
It's what makes him who he is. I don't think you can take that out of a QB. You can make him approach contact in a smarter way. But I think that's a process of just learning how to be a running back. You know what I mean? It's when I see Josh Allen run and he's getting ready to go into contact, he looks like a running back that's going to go into contact. Jackson Dart earlier in this year, because he hasn't done it as of late, when he's going into contact, he's just wide open. Like, hit me. Yeah, there's a target right here on my chest, or actually in more cases, right here on my head. Just hit me. There's a way that you have to go into contact. And if he's taught that, he can be an effective runner. And that's design QB runs. That's also when scrambling, when plays break down. But That's like an off-season correction. That was like me changing the way I carried a football when I fixed my fumbling issues. It becomes mechanics, right? How do you mechanically go into contact? He can learn that. So I don't think you should think about eliminating that from his game, because it changes his game completely.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.